Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Mother God, happy Mother's Day, as I've said before, happy Mother's Day. And did you know that Mother's Day was celebrated in the United States, was started by a Methodist? It started as a church service initiated by Anna Jarvis in 1907 at the Andrews Methodist Episcopal Church in Grafton, West Virginia. Anna wanted to celebrate, her mother, Ann Reeves Jarvis, who was a peace activist and caretaker of wounded soldiers during the Civil War. Anne felt that it was important for mothers to band together for peace, so she worked with another activist named Julia Howe to create a Mother's Day for Peace holiday, where mothers banded together to ask that their husbands and sons be spared the violence of war. Actually, 40 years before Mother's Day became an official holiday, Anne drafted a, quote, Mother's Day proclamation in 1870, which called upon mothers of all nationalities to band together to promote, quote, the amicable settlement of international questions, the great and general interests of peace. So in celebration of her mother's admirable work toward peace, Anna asked Congress to create a new holiday called Mother's Day. And Congress initially declined, saying that, well, then they'd have to have a Mother-in-Law's Day. So Anna took her request to the states. And by 1911, all the states were celebrating Mother's Day. But it wasn't until 1914 that Woodrow Wilson signed into law a declaration stating that Mother's Day would be an official federal holiday and it'd be celebrated on the second Sunday of May. Anna always felt that Mother's Day should be associated with a sincere feeling of peace and nurturing, attributes that were associated with motherhood. As a matter of fact, Anna got so frustrated with the commercialization of Mother's Day by the greeting card industries and some of the flower industries that she later organized a Mother's Day boycott and threatened to sue the companies who were profiting from the holiday. Anna felt that a heartfelt, handwritten letter to someone's mother was the best way to celebrate Mother's Day. To Anna, Mother's Day was a time to express our appreciation for motherhood and the women who fulfilled the ideals associated with motherhood. Strictly speaking, motherhood is simply really the state of being a mother. If you look it up, that's what Google says about motherhood. Whether you're giving birth, adopted a child, married into a family with children, or fulfilled the role of mother through some other relationship, you might find that you are considered by someone to be their mother. Sometimes this role is enthusiastically sought out. Sometimes it's a state that was neither expected nor desired. Regardless of how someone becomes a mother, there are ideals that we associate with motherhood. One web article that I read on organizedmotherhood.com uses 21 adjectives to describe the ideals of motherhood. So listen to these and see if you feel that they're the same. Patient, consistent, forgiving, calm, organized, loving, friendly, fierce, knowledgeable, brave, healthy, having a good sense of humor, hardworking, fun, available, positive, nurturing, being a good role model, welcoming, imperfect, and secure. Does that sound like an ideal mom? Of course, identifying these characteristics as ideals implies it's unrealistic to assume that anyone could always exhibit these attributes perfectly. Regardless of striving toward perfection involves trying to be the best that we can possibly be by working on living up to our ideals. And when we fail, then we seek understanding and forgiveness, as we do with all the other discipleship ideals. If you think about it, most of these ideal characteristics of motherhood could easily be attributed to God. I'll ask you this time to listen to these words, but listen to them with an image of God in mind. Patient, consistent, forgiving, calm, organized, loving, friendly, fierce, knowledgeable, brave, healthy, having a good sense of humor, hardworking, fun, available, positive, nurturing, being a good role model, welcoming, imperfect, and secure. I know some may think twice about the imperfect label, but otherwise I think these attributes could easily be seen in God as well, especially as we reflect on the gospel stories. In our passage from the Gospel of John this morning, we see Jesus being nurturing, brave, loving, and available to his disciples. This passage, which is part of a larger section known as Jesus' farewell discourse, seems to try to gently explain to the disciples what is about to happen to him, to Jesus. They've had their last supper together, and Judas has already left on his errand of betrayal to the authorities. And Jesus knows that the series of events that will lead to his torture and execution have already been set in motion. Yet he is calm and brave. He tries to forewarn his disciples what will happen without being too graphic and frightening. But they have difficulty understanding him. They have difficulty understanding why they can't follow him, or why will they be able to see him but the rest of the world won't. So Jesus patiently tries to give them a message. A message which they'll be able to use to reflect on later and hopefully provide some measure of comfort. Using an image of children who had just lost their only parent, he tells them that he won't leave them orphaned. He will return to them eventually and will ask God to send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to comfort and take care of them while he is away. Using this imagery of deep understanding and intimacy, he tells them that they will one day discover how closely Jesus is tied to the Father and to them, saying, "On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you." This kind of reminds me of a deep interconnectedness that is reminiscent of a maternal relationship to an unborn child. For the mother who carries her child within her, there is a sharing in the necessities of life, oxygen, nutrients, indicative of the mother within the child. And there's also a recognition of the independent fetal movements that are indicative of the child within the mother. Perhaps it would be helpful to think of our relationship with God in a similar way. Although we have been handed down more patriarchal language of God, I think there may be value in considering the matriarchal aspects of God as well. Of course, God has no gender, or perhaps it would be more appropriate to say to think of God as having characteristics of all genders. There are traits we attribute to masculinity and which seem to fit with our understanding of the nature of God. And there are traits which we attribute to femininity. And there are traits that could be both, such as wisdom or knowledge. It's difficult to pin God down to our personal physical understandings of this world, so keeping an open mind is probably more helpful. This seems to be akin to the situation that Paul found with the Greeks when he visited Athens. While traveling through the city, he found an altar dedicated to an unknown god. The Greeks worshiped a pantheon of gods and goddesses, and perhaps in an attempt to cover their bases, they had this extra catch-all altar dedicated to any particular god which they might have missed. Paul claimed this unknown god is the one true God. The one true God is unknown because God is unknowable, at least in the ways the Greeks were looking for divinity. God cannot exist only in shrines and statues and trinkets or altars. God cannot be fully contained or bounded within anything that humans can construct, including doctrines, rules, or gender stereotypes. God is everywhere, within everything, yet not bounded by anything that we can create. After all, it doesn't make sense that the Creator can be fully contained by something made by the created. Paul appealed to the Greek quest for understanding as they searched and fumbled about, looking for God. He noted that although we struggle to find God, God is actually very close to us, always ready and waiting to be in a deeper relationship with each of us. Paul explained that God had sent Jesus to this earth so that we may know God more fully, and that we may one day be held accountable for our choices, choices of whether we chose to accept the invitation to be in relationship with God or not. Eventually, the one whom God had raised from the dead, Jesus, will judge us. Meanwhile, we have the gifts of grace and salvation that have mysteriously come to us through the process of crucifixion and resurrection, which Jesus knowingly and willingly endured on our behalf. Paul invited the Athenians to participate in this mystery of faith, just as he did wherever he went. Today, on this beautiful Mother's Day, let us also reconsider this invitation to be in a deeper relationship with God by looking at God through the lens of motherhood and reflecting that image of God to others around us. Let us be more nurturing and compassionate to each other as well as to ourselves. Make a point of connecting in some way with your mother or person who served the role of mother to you, either through a phone call or a text or email or a letter. For those of us whose mother has passed away, perhaps reflect on the memories of that special person who served as your mom. And for those who are mothers, let your children dote on you a bit today, even if it requires a little extra patience. If you feel you've made mistakes in the past, which we all have, you can acknowledge those mistakes and refrain from doing them again, but don't let that stop the celebration of the good that you have done for your children. And for those moms whose children have already passed away, know that you are also celebrated today, here in our church family, for all the ways that you loved your child. The love offered by our mothers is much like the love offered by God. We often hear the phrase, Father God. Maybe we should also sometimes consider getting comfortable with the phrase, Mother God. This isn't to change the gender of God, because remember, it's not that we purposefully acknowledge or express that God is a male or a female, but it's so that we can acknowledge that God expresses the best ideals of both motherhood and fatherhood. God's love is unfathomable. So let us be open to seeing that love in new ways, receiving that love with deep gratitude, and sharing that love with humility, compassion, and generosity, just as we remember it in our fondest memories of our moms.